Hey-de-ho, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. I am the pastor of Alturas Baptist Church. There is a question that I have heard people say throughout my life. Where do I find love? Maybe you are looking for different kinds of love. No matter what kind of love you are wanting to find, where does it come from? In today's message, I will scripturally show where love comes from and how you can find it for your life. Let's come together in unity and worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, while also learning a very important life lesson from God that will guide you through this life. I would like to welcome you for worship and for the Lord's message this morning on KCFJ AM 570. Good morning, everyone. I would like to welcome everyone to our service today. Whether you are here in person, online, or even listening on 570 AM KCFJ, welcome to all. In today's society, Christianity is looked down upon in general. Why is that? It's mainly because so many people in the churches act one way while they're in church, and then they will act completely different outside of the church building. Or they will look down on people for not fitting a specific mold or profile of the type of people that they want inside of their building. The general public of non-Christians view these kind of actions as being hypocritical, and rightly so. I have said this time and time again, and I will continue to say this. The churches in this nation that act like that are following the religion of God. They are following false teachings, and they are getting it very wrong because that is a false view of God. We are a church of non-perfect, broken people who have been broken through the chaos and the cruelty of what this world produces. But we have been saved by grace alone, through Jesus Christ alone. This is a church that will always follow the true word of God. We are not perfect people, and we don't look for perfect people. We are members of a church who love everyone. We are broken people who will always welcome broken people from all walks of life. Because when it comes down to it, we are the body of Christ. We are here not to shove a bunch of rules and regulations into society. We are here to learn how to have a relationship with the Messiah, Jesus the Christ, who came in onto this earth to give a gift from God to everyone that has ever lived and will ever live on this earth. Today is the final week to celebrate the birth of that real person, Jesus Christ, who came to this world in humility for those of us who are broken. During these Advent weeks, we have been viewing the Christmas story from different angles. We have been learning about the side characters in the Christmas story. Now, I'm going to take a few moments to look at the view of the wise men. We as Christians will celebrate the birth of Jesus on Wednesday, not because we believe that he was actually born on that day. No, because he wasn't. Jesus was born in April in the year 2 BC. In fact, my opinion, which is based on Scripture, is that Jesus was born on what we now call Palm Sunday. And I will give further explanation of that in April. The reason why we celebrate his birth with Christmas is not because of a pagan holiday either. Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 and 2 says, "Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, 'Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east and have come to worship him.'" Throughout my studies, I have found that there is a large group of theologians that believe that the wise men are from the Oriental kingdom. We know that from the moment of the birth of Jesus until this moment right here, there was a star above where Jesus was at all times. We all need to know that in the first century, it takes a very long time to travel. So the wise men traveling from the Orient to Jerusalem is going to take roughly 9 months to accomplish. Christmas is not the celebration of the actual birth of Jesus. Matthew chapter 2, verses 9 to 11. "When they heard the king, they departed, and behold, the star which they had seen in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced with exceedingly great joy." Christmas is the day that was chosen when the wise men visited the home of Jesus in Bethlehem. Verse 11, "And when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary his mother, and fell down and worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented gifts to him, gold, frankincense, and myrrh." You see, Joseph, Mary, and Jesus were no longer in the stable. We just found out that they were in a house. It was 9 months since the birth of Jesus, and they were able to move into a house during that time period. Now, a question has to be answered now. Why those gifts? What is the meaning behind that? Well, gold is a symbol of great wealth, power, and kingship. Frankincense is a luxurious oil that is used in religious rituals, and it is a symbol of priesthood. And myrrh is an herb used in burial rituals, and it also symbolizes death. The wise men were giving us the inside scoop of the entire life of Jesus through these gifts. Jesus is the King of Kings, with a ministry to teach us what we need to know about being a child of God, and that he would be sacrificed as our replacement to receive the death that we deserved, so that we can have eternal life. Our celebration of Christmas is to celebrate the arrival of the wise men to give Jesus those gifts, which is why we give gifts on Christmas. But don't think that Christmas is all about giving of gifts. It's not. It's more. But I'm going to cover that in just a minute. Throughout this month, we have been studying not just the themes of Advent, but also the people of the Christmas story. The first week, we looked at Elizabeth's hope. We learned of the oppression of the Jewish people, the sustaining hope of the expected Messiah, and the eternal hope that Jesus brought to us. The second week, we saw the announcement of the shepherd's peace told to the humbled shepherds in the fields. And we learned about Jesus being the Prince of Peace and how he gives us an inner peace despite living in a chaotic world around us. How Jesus is the only reason why peace even exists in this world. And last week, we saw the response of Mary's joy through the great stress that Mary and those around her experienced. We learned how we can experience joy in the midst of our troubled circumstances. This is the fourth week, and we will learn about a new kind of love demonstrated and given to us by Jesus alone. The title of this message is God's Love. We will be in the book of 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 19. Please stand for the reading of God's Word today. 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 to 19. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. Now, where does love come from? God. Why? Well, he started it. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this, the love of God was manifested towards us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation of our sins. We're going to pause right here. Do you see it? This is the real Christmas story right here. You see, God showed us his great love for us by sending his Son. He did this to initiate a very powerful and intense love relationship with us. Verse 11, beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love has been perfected in us. By this, we know that we abide in him, and he in us, because he has given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son as Savior of the world. This is why we celebrate Christmas. It is because God sent his Son into this world to save us. Now, what did Jesus come to save us from? Sin. Verse 15, whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God has for us. God is love, and he who abides in love abides in God, and God in him. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment, which means punishment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Those who grew up in a Christian home. Did you ever think that God was watching you at all times? Did you ever think that maybe God was catching you when you were sinning and then he would punish you? Were any of you afraid of God while you were growing up? If you really want to understand Christmas, you first receive, and then you will intimately know his love for you. Verse 19, we love him because he first loved us. You may be seated. Why do we love God? There are three things that we need to understand in order to put Christmas in the right perspective. Number one, sin is ultimately the reason for this season. I've been talking about this the whole Christmas season. The angel told Joseph in Matthew 1:21, and she will bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Why did God come here? It's because of our sins. The point is made in Dr. Luke's Christmas story. Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. Then the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This baby is being called a Savior. This begs the question, what do we ultimately need saving from? The sin inside of us. We need saving from ourselves. Love is the motive for this season. The first time that love is mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis 22:2. Then he said, take now your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. Has anyone ever read that and wondered why the specific location of the land of Moriah and then a mountain of which God will tell him later about? Have you ever wondered what the specifics are about? Well, if you have, I'm about to answer that question. The first time love is mentioned in the Bible, it is the love of a man for his son. This verse also foreshadows the sacrifice of Jesus. Here's the obvious part. Take now your son, your only son, whom you love. Now the not so obvious part. Go to the land of Moriah and offer him there. And then continues and says, on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. What is the significance of one of the mountains in the land of Moriah? Mount Moriah is where Abraham took Isaac and built an altar and was going to sacrifice him. It is the exact location of where the Temple Mount in Jerusalem is located today. The Temple Mount is the actual location where the Sanhedrin met, tried Jesus, and then sentenced him to death. Jesus was brought by his father to the temple, which is the altar on Mount Moriah, to be sacrificed. Now, the first time love is mentioned in the New Testament is in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, at the moment where Jesus came up from the water after being baptized. And suddenly a voice came from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The words of God. The first time love shows up in the Bible, it's for the sacrifice of an only son that would have taken place. And the first time love shows up in the New Testament for a man that is going to be sacrificed, God's only son. And it does take place. It's as if God reserved that word both times to show the depth of the gift that was being given. What makes a great Christmas gift? Value, rarity, how personalized it is to you, how useful it is. Contrary to popular belief, Christmas is not about giving gifts. It's about receiving. It's about receiving this incredible gift of love from God. John 3:16-17. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Romans 5:8-12. But God demonstrates his own love towards us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered into the world, and death entered in through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned. If God loves me, then he would give me this, or he would give me that, right? No, he wouldn't. If God loved me, he wouldn't have taken my loved ones from me, right? No. We seem to be blaming God for a broken world that he came to redeem. God, your heavenly Father, loved you so much that he sent his only Son to take on our limitations and to be tortured and to die for our sins that we commit so that he can have a relationship with you and with me. But also, you get to decide the response to this season. The reason for the season is sin. That's you and me. The motive for the season is love. That's God. The response to this season is entirely up to you. Imagine on Christmas morning, picture this. Your entire family is sitting around the tree, opening gifts. You can't wait for your spouse or your loved one, your special someone, to open a gift that you are giving them. It cost you a lot to get this gift, and it took a lot of time in putting it together. You have put your everything into that gift. And when the moment comes for them to open that gift, they look at it and they say, no, thank you. And they put it off to the side. I really don't want it. The feeling that you're feeling right now, focus that feeling with the denial of that gift. Because that is how God feels when somebody refuses his gift. When you say no thank you to God for the gift of salvation by denying his Son, Jesus Christ. How do we respond to this? There's only two choices. One, you can receive this gift of love from God by turning the will of your life over to the care of God and trusting in Jesus. Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The only other choice is you can do whatever you continue to want to do. You live your life to your fullest. Everything you want to do, go for it. Follow your own way. Deny Jesus and receive death. You can't have it both ways. In conclusion, there is a reason why I am wearing this tie today. Now on this tie, it looks like a gift. It says, to mankind, love God. And contrary to what somebody told me earlier today, this is not God saying that I am the greatest gift to mankind. It is how I am honoring a true gift from God. Today, God is offering you an incredible gift. The question is, are you going to open it? Are you going to accept a real gift of your salvation and accept God's love for your life? Today is the day to make a new life for yourself. As 2024 comes to an end It is time for each and every person to come to certain realizations. The first realization is just a simple fact. You can't do this thing called life by yourself. We all need help. You might be thinking to yourself, nah, I got this. I've been doing great so far. How many suffer through depressions or addictions? Who has been having to deal with mental strains of your past or even unnatural deaths to those people who are close to you in your life? Before Jesus, all of those things was me. Before Jesus, I was so consumed with myself that I thought that I was just fine, that I was the one running my own life. I was in charge of this one-man show. Guess what? Because of that, I made huge mistakes. And I suffered through all of those consequences. I am telling you that you don't have to make your own huge mistakes in your life. You don't have to try to figure out things for your life. Since I have accepted this great, wonderful gift from God, I'm going to tell you, things have not been easy. The road of life has not been smooth. But with God guiding my family and I through this, it has made it a lot more livable. We can look back on all of the bad times that we have experienced, and we are extremely thankful that we had Jesus to take that wheel of our life and to drive us through those bumpy roads. We can and will always rely on Him because He can and will do the same for all of us as long as we accept Jesus today. Begin a real relationship with the only Savior of this world. Now, the second realization is we are all separated from God. If we die with that separation, then you're going to have an eternal separation from your true Creator. That separation is going to send your soul into eternal death in hell. I'm going to tell you, hell is a real place. It is real and true because it's going to give you a real and true death sentence for eternity. People claim that hell is not in the Bible. Well, it very much is described in the scriptures in two ways and in 50 separate verses in scripture. The first way is hell is called Sheol. It is mentioned 18 times in 18 different verses, and here's just one of them. Psalm 18:5. The sorrows of Sheol surround me. The snares of death confronted me. Now, the word hell. It is mentioned 32 times in 32 separate verses. Here's one of them. Psalms 55:15. Let death seize them. Let them go down alive into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. When a person dies, they do not cease to exist. The physical body no longer exists. That part is true. But the person inside of that body continues to live. That is your soul. The person does not ever cease to exist because the person is the soul. When you die, you will live on forever. It is up to you right now, today, to decide where you will exist for eternity. There's only one choice to make for your eternal existence, but I'm going to give you two. Choose heaven by accepting Jesus into your life and accept building an actual relationship with the only Savior of this world. Or you can choose hell by rejecting Jesus for your life or by following a false teaching from a false teacher that has formed a false view of God in your life. There is no other way to look at it. Accept Jesus today and go to heaven at the end of your life, or reject Jesus and the true teachings of God's word and go to hell for eternity. It doesn't matter what sins you are committing in your life. If you are thinking that you need to get yourself right with God before you can go to church or before you can get right with God, know this. You will never be able to get right with God without the help of the Holy Spirit to get you right. We all struggle with the day-to-day sins of this world. And it is only through the Holy Spirit of God that we can repent. We can turn away from those sins. Come to God. Come into His house. Come to the feet of His cross and accept Jesus into your life today. There is only two choices to accept. You're either going to accept being on Team Jesus and have a real love relationship with God, the Father, Jesus, the Son, and their Holy Spirit, and then you will receive eternal life in heaven. Or the alternate, you will accept being on Team Satan, and you will remain separated, and you will remain an enemy of God, and you will receive eternal death in hell. I'm just going to leave you with this. The choice is yours. Choose wisely. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week, and a very Merry Christmas.
1 Corinthians 12:4-6, and 1 Peter 4:10. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God.
Pum, pum, pum.
Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for coming and helping and saving us. Thank you for becoming God on earth, Lord. Thank you for shepherding us the way that you intended all along. Lord, we ask that you continue to shepherd us and guide us through our week. Guide us through our life. Show us exactly how we are supposed to live for your ministry, Lord. Give us the open doors to share you with those who don't know you. And Lord, we thank you for the open doors that you have given us. And we thank you for the guidance that you provide. Lord, we just thank you for all provisions. Lord, we love you. And we just ask that you continue to guide us. Show us mercy where needed. Give us your compassion and your mercies. In the name of Jesus, your Son. Amen.
Hello, Pastor Brian J. Bates here. Thank you for listening to this message. If you enjoyed this message, then come visit Alturas Baptist Church located at 500 West 4th Street in Alturas, California at 11 o'clock this morning for a brand new message that has been inspired by God. A relationship with Jesus is as easy as ABC. Visit our website at alturasbaptistchurch.com. There you will find who we are, past sermons, giving to the ministry, and so much more. That's alturasbaptistchurch.com. If you want to check out more messages and devotionals on YouTube, then visit Living Like Christ Ministry 2023. Come back every Sunday morning at 7 a.m. for the next message, right here on KCFJ 570 on the AM dial. I love you, and God loves you. Have a blessed week.